And welcome into the midweek Anything Goes edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. Glad to have you along with us. We'll have some more Brewers baseball to talk about on the Friday weekend edition of the show. Also, maybe we'll dive into some Packers football a little bit now that it looks like Aaron Jones' days are over with the Green Bay Packers. We kind of knew that that was going to be the case, but it seems a little bit more official now that the team has opted to not use the franchise tag on their leading rusher over the last several seasons. He's going to get paid. He's going to get paid somewhere. It's just probably not going to be in Green Bay. Also, Corey Linsley looks like he's going to be gone as well, and he's going to get paid as well. And even Brian Gutekunst talked about that in his news conference a week or two ago, saying, look, he's earned this payday, and he didn't say what everyone was thinking. Well, are you going to pay him then? And it seemed like he was saying he's going to get this payday somewhere else. So what does that mean? Does it mean Elgton Jenkins is going to be the Packers center? I don't know at this point. That's a possibility. Elgton Jenkins has been probably the most valuable member of the Packers offensive line, not named Bakhtiari, over the last several seasons, just because he can play everywhere and play everywhere really well. But we'll get into that on Friday. Today marks the one-year anniversary of sports shutting down. Now, normally we do the Midweek Anything Goes edition of the podcast on Wednesday. I'm releasing this on Thursday, March 11th, because it's been 365 days since really the whole world kind of came to a standstill, and sports led the way with this standstill. And I listened back to my show from exactly 1 year ago, and I was doing a nighttime show on ESPN Milwaukee at the time, and there was what I like to call a fog of war a little bit, because we were talking about, well, you know, the third person in Wisconsin has contracted coronavirus and now they're trying to contact trace him. You can't do that for hundreds of thousands of people. You can't do that for millions of people. I mean, there have been more than 500,000 people in our country alone in the last year that have died from coronavirus. Now it seems as though we're finally turning the corner. More and more people are getting inoculated every day. When it's your turn to get the vaccine, I hope you go get the vaccine. I haven't gotten it yet simply because I'm not eligible to get it yet. I don't have a compromised immune system. I'm not of an advanced age, and I don't fit any of the other criteria. I'm not a frontline worker. I'm not someone who works in healthcare, obviously. So I haven't gotten it yet, but just as soon as I can, I will. And I would encourage every single one of you listening to also get the vaccine, because that's the only way that we're really truly going to get past all of this as a society. And it's not just about you, and it's not just about me. It's about all of us. So that's me on my soapbox. But again, if you go back and listen to my show from a year ago, which is what we're going to do, if you stick with the podcast, if you think, well, you know, I already know what happened a year ago. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But for me, this was really trippy look back at what exactly did happen the day that sports shut down. And we didn't know how long sports was going to shut down for. Was it going to be, well, two weeks to flatten the curve? Well, that obviously proved to be way too optimistic. If everything shuts down for a month, we'll be back by, you know, April 1st, May 1st at the latest, maybe June. Well, we're a year later, and concerts haven't happened. Full stadiums haven't happened, at least not in North America. So, again, the sooner everybody can get inoculated, the sooner we're going to get past this. But I did think it was interesting to take a look back, as long as we have the Anything Goes Wednesday. Well, we're making it a Thursday this week. As long as we can look back, as long as we have the ability to look back exactly 1 year into the past and what we were talking about. This isn't the full show, but these are the pertinent, relevant parts of the Doug Russell Show from March 11th, 2020, as it pertains to the pandemic that we were all entering at the time.
Here's Doug Russell.
Hashtag cancel everything. That's what it's kind of looking like right now, right? These are unprecedented times, and this has been an unprecedented hour. I mean, this is today has been, when we look back at when things really, I think, turned, this is a pivotal day. This has been a pivotal afternoon in how sports is dealing with the coronavirus. This is something that's never happened in my lifetime, something that's never happened in your lifetime, because NBA owners are now talking about either playing games in empty arenas, which the Golden State Warriors are already doing. That's thanks to the city of San Francisco passing an ordinance for the next 2 weeks banning large gatherings. And when they say large gatherings, gatherings of more than 1,000 people. So how long will that extend? Will that extend into Giants season, baseball season, which is right around the corner? Maybe. Will it extend to the rest of the NBA? Well, that's what they're talking about. Either that or taking a hiatus. So I'm torn on this in so many different ways. I'm torn on this from the standpoint that when you look at this pandemic, and that's what it has now been classified by the World Health Organization, when you look at how easily this strain of coronavirus is being passed from one person to the other person to the next person to the next person, you almost have to quarantine everybody. And even if you're not somebody who is an at-risk person, here's where the risk is. The risk is, even if you're healthy, even if you're, I was talking to our marketing team, they're all in their early to mid-20s. We've got a very young, healthy, vibrant marketing team. And we were just kind of talking about it in the office today. And my point was, look, none of you are going to die from this because you're not in that category. You're not infirmed. You're not someone with a compromised immune system. You're all young, healthy, young adults. So you guys are going to be fine. But here's the problem. You could very easily pass it to someone who isn't. You could very easily pass it to your grandparents, for example. You could pass it to someone who does have a compromised immune system. That's why they're banning all of these large gatherings. And now this is, it's not affecting sports. It's taking over sports. It's taking over all facets of society. And you wonder what's next. Because if you would have said a week ago, well, you know what, they're going to be playing the Big Ten tournament, that's the latest. The Big Ten tournament, what, about 25 minutes ago, the Big Ten said that after tomorrow, the rest of the tournament, you know, when it starts to get good, the rest of the tournament will be played at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis in front of only essential personnel, which means, well, let's see, I've got the statement here. By the way, this is in lieu of leading off, I guess. Because this is just what's going on right now. I mean, you can hit the da-da-da-da if you want, but hit it and then kill. Now you can kill it. Okay, so this is what's going on. The Big Ten Conference announced this evening, and this evening meaning 20 minutes ago, that beginning Thursday, March 12th, okay, so that's tomorrow. So tonight is the last night that if you were going to Indianapolis or if you're listening to the show in Indianapolis, you know, maybe you're going down to maybe watch the Badgers and you just like the show and you've got the Wisconsin On Demand app and you're in Indianapolis right now. Attendance at all Big Ten men's basketball tournament games will be limited to student athletes, coaches, event staff, essential team and conference staff, TV network partners, credentialed media, and immediate family members of the participating teams. In other words, no fans. Additionally, all further Big Ten Conference winter and spring sport competitions, including championship and tournament events, will also be limited to student athletes, coaches, event staff, essential team and conference staff, TV network partners, credentialed media, and immediate family members of the participating teams. The main priority of the Big Ten Conference is to ensure the safety of our student athletes, coaches, administrators, fans, and media as we continue to monitor all relevant information on the COVID-19 virus on a daily basis. This on the heels of the NCAA announcing the same. This was, I don't know, maybe an hour or so ago. The NCAA continues to assess the impact of COVID-19 in consultation with public health officials and our COVID-19 advisory panel. Based on their advice and my, Mark Emmert, we've had some pot shots taken at him, but I think, you know, they're not doing this for the money, that's for sure. So credit where credit is due. So this is a statement from Mark Emmert. Advice in my discussions with the NCAA Board of Governors, I have made the decision to conduct our upcoming championship events, including the Division I men's and women's basketball tournaments, with only essential staff and limited family attendance. While I understand how disappointing this is for all fans of our sports, my decision is based on the current understanding of how COVID-19 is progressing through the United States. This decision is in the best interest of public health, including that of coaches, administrators, fans, and most importantly, our student athletes. We recognize the opportunity to compete in an NCAA national championship is an experience of a lifetime for the students and their families. Today, we will move forward and conduct championships consistent with the current information and will continue to monitor and make adjustments as needed. So, I mean, this is where we're at right now. And this is what has in the last, I mean, let's see, what are the other things that you had in your, Shefty's saying Jimmy Graham's going to be gone by tomorrow, so there's that.
Yep.
That's in your leading off.
Yeah, there's the
Brewers play tonight.
Right. Well, that was still maybe not going on, but that was weather-related, but it looks like they're going to play.
Yeah. Giannis was practicing today, no word of whether or not he'll play tomorrow.
Right.
Now the NBA is saying, maybe not we'll have games.
Yeah, per Adam Schefter and Zach Lowe, they're both reporting that there was a meeting and there'll be a further discussion tomorrow about if they will either A, limit fans coming to NBA games, or if they'll just delay the season.
Yeah, Schefter reporting on basketball is still weird to me, but yes, go on. And will forever.
Oh, that was Wojnarowski, not Schefter.
Oh, that was
I'm
Woj.
Sorry. Yeah, that was Woj.
Well, Schefter still does some NBA stuff too, and it still weirds me out, but that was Woj.
So this actually legit, because Woj did
right.
Tweet it. So.
Well, Woj tweets it. It is gospel.
Right.
Has he ever had a bad tweet? So, okay, it's our Twitter poll question of the night. How will the Twitter poll question is, how will the coronavirus outbreak alter your sports viewing habits? Let's see, 13.8% of you so far, we only have 80 votes in, but 13.8% of you say, I won't attend games. I suspect that's going to be a little bit higher. 1.3% of you, so almost no one, says that it will be affected by not attending parties or going to bars, i.e. NCAA tournament, which is coming up as well. That's going to be one of those things that's up to the individual establishments, right?
Yeah, you would think.
I don't know how else you're going to police that. Certainly, the NCAA wants these games televised. And this is huge business. The first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, a lot of businesses, a lot of bars, a lot of, restaurants that have, bars in them, they count on these 2 days. I mean, this is like their Christmas, because there's games all day and all night long. And what has the Centers for Disease Control said? They've said large gatherings. That's why there's not going to be fans in the stands for any of the NCAA tournament games. That's why there's not going to be any fans starting tomorrow in the Big Ten. Have we heard anything from the Big East yet? Because they've got to be next, right?
I would imagine they're all going to follow suit, because Big 12 did it too.
Yeah, and we've got people that are going. We've got some of our office staff that went to Marquette. They're flying to New York tomorrow in the hopes of seeing this game, and they're probably not going to get in. We haven't heard anything yet, but we'll monitor the situation from the Big East. 10% of you say you're only going to go to your own kids' games, and 75% of you, of respondents so far, have said that the coronavirus outbreak will not alter your sports viewing habits at all. I got news for you. Whether you want it to or not, it's a coming. So how has this outbreak affected you as a sports fan at all? Has it dampened your enthusiasm for the upcoming NCAA tournament? What's the best course of action for the Brewers moving forward on opening day? What's the best course of action for the NBA moving forward? These are all things that affect everything in society, but where do you have the largest gathering of people? Because this is a political year, you've got some political rallies. Beyond that, it's sporting events. Fiserv Forum holds 17,000 plus. Miller Park is going to, unless they say no you're not, Miller Park is expected to have a crowd of 44,000 for opening day. Those are large gatherings. You know what they've done in Italy? They've just shut everything down. They have literally canceled everything because of the outbreak, which had gotten out of hand in Italy. And finally, you're going to hear this phrase a lot, by the way. flattening the curve. Flattening the curve is where you kind of need to be. There's like an XY axis. And right now, because you've got so many worldwide coronavirus cases that it's spiking the curve, and there's only so many beds to go around in hospitals. There's only so many respirators to go around. There's only so much that the infrastructure of the health system worldwide and here in the United States, obviously, can handle. It is finite. So you have to flatten that curve. You're going to hear that a lot, flattening the curve. And the best way that Italy has done, the best thing that they've done is they've canceled everything. They have sent everybody home. If you're going to go out in public, don't go out in a large crowd. They've canceled soccer games, football. They call it football. They've sent fans home. They've played in front of empty stadiums. And they're finally starting to get their arms wrapped around this thing. I think this is one of those things that everybody at least kind of has an opinion on. What's the best way for North American sports to wrap their arms around this whole coronavirus outbreak, pandemic, whatever you want to call it? Officially, it's a pandemic. If you're the overlord of all things sports, man, what do you do? I think some of the problems are fans aren't taking it seriously enough. I just logged on to CNN.com, just trying to see what else is going on in the world during Darienko there for a second. And the banner headline is U.S. considers restricting travel to Europe. I mean, I think that that's probably at this point a prudent step. You've got to kind of cancel everything until this is contained. And that now means sports. Like, sometimes sports and life overlap. And this is one of those cases, unfortunately, where sports and life overlaps. And this is not, look, this is not a political thing. I've seen this be politicized on both sides of the aisle. This is not the time to go Republican versus Democrat on this, on both sides. And I've seen both sides do it. This is a time to, okay, if ever we have ever thought that we're not in this together, we are in this together. Because if you're a carrier, you can pass it to anyone. Because it is that easy. If this wasn't so contagious, I mean, there's a million diseases that aren't contagious. Cancer, for example, a terrible, awful, horrific, life-altering, changing, and tragically ending disease. It's not contagious. You can still go to a basketball game. You can still do a lot of things because it's not contagious. Terrible disease, not contagious. This is so contagious that people are wondering where they got it. There are, what, three more new cases today here in the state of Wisconsin, including in Waukesha County. And they're trying to retrace this person's steps. They're in home quarantine right now, but they're trying to retrace this person's steps. Where did you come into contact with whomever gave this virus to you? And you can't pin it down. I mean, there are some viruses that are more easily transmitted than others. This one seems to be one that is very, very easily transferred from one person to the other. Travis Diener. We know Travis Diener. This was written by our friend J.R. Ratcliffe in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And this is the headline. Here's what life is like for Marquette great Travis Diener in the coronavirus quarantine zone in Italy. He's stuck. This is what J.R. writes. It's hard to imagine a health threat so great that it compels the cancellation of pro sporting events, but the United States might be glancing into its future when it sees Italy, which announced Monday that it was suspending all sporting events until April 3rd. That included a Serie A pro basketball league in which former Marquette University standout Travis Diener has played in each of the last three seasons. He and his family are part of a quarantine in northern Italy that has impacted 16 million people, including Travis's wife, Rosa Maria, and three kids, Karina, Mila, and Luca. The Dieners won't be able to leave the Lombardy region until conditions improve. Diener told JR from Italy via telephone. The region we live in is a red zone, and tonight, Monday, they announced that all of Italy was a red zone. I'd be surprised if the season actually completed. I took my daughters for a walk yesterday. If you didn't know anything was going on, you wouldn't think anything of it. I think you see a lot of panic. Where we're at is a really prevalent area for the virus. You get people that are really worried about it and fearful of it, and then the other people are just like, it's not that big of a deal. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm being cautious because I have three little kids. I wouldn't say it's a ghost town, but you're hindered in what you're supposed to be able to do. J.R. Radcliffe goes on to write, residents are asked to stay at home except for essential trips, such as visits to the grocery store, or for work obligations that can't be completed remotely. People are supposed to keep a distance of 1 meter from one another. School has been closed for 2 weeks, and Diener wonders if classes will resume at any point this school year. See your future, be your future, right? What they did in Italy was not take this seriously. And that's my fear here about, you know, when I put out the poll earlier. I don't want to be preachy. We're supposed to have fun on this show, right? But this is something that is, this is everything that people are talking about in sports right now. And we've got 234 votes in. And the question is, how will coronavirus outbreak alter your sports viewing habits? When 73.1% of you say, not at all. I do wonder how seriously we are taking this. Because I'm heartened not by the NCAA and the Big Ten kind of saying, all right, maybe we should just ban fans from these events. But I fear that we did this too late as a society. I fear that we didn't take this serious enough from day one, because from the things, and look, I am no expert on this, but I've tried to do as much research and reading on this as I possibly could. And from what I have read, if we as an American society do everything that is being recommended, don't travel if you don't need to travel. Don't go to sporting events. Try to stay out of large gatherings of people. Wash your hands. Wash your hands for crying out loud after going to the bathroom and before eating meals. Sanitize wherever you can. If we take these precautions, we can at least not cure coronavirus and this strain of coronavirus, but at least we can wrap our arms around it and flatten that curve in about 8 weeks. That's what we're kind of looking at right now. And again, I am not an expert, but I am taking this seriously. I hope you guys are taking it seriously as well. You can always tweet me throughout the show and throughout your day, throughout your weekend, throughout your evening, at Doug Russell on Twitter. It's not that hard to find. It's just my name. Brett texts me, tweets me. Honest question, Doug. Do you think CBS is going to rake in the cash now with ad revenue now that there's only one way to watch the tournament? Media will certainly take advantage of the fact that more eyes will be on televisions due to self-quarantines. Not necessarily, because those rates are already set, number one. And number two, I mean, you're talking about, you know, the potential of several million fans watching versus, you know, 15 to 20,000 in an arena. And those tickets aren't cheap, and the NCAA is going to be taking a major hit on this, there's no question about that. The rates are already set. So minimally, the ratings could go up a little bit, but I don't think it's anything that's really going to move the needle. Because if you're watching Marquette, unless you're going to, or Wisconsin, and pick a city, any city. Spokane, for example, is where they're having some of the tournament games. I don't have the list in front of me of where all the tournament games are going to be held, but Orlando, they normally have them. Unless you're traveling to Orlando, you're going to watch your team. And you would have watched them anyway, so I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
The current agreement between CBS and Turner Broadcasting with the NCAA averages $771 million a year. Then an extension averages $1.1 billion a year.
Yeah, so amateur athletics, right?
In 2018, the tournament pulled in a $1.32 billion in national TV ad revenue.
Sure. Roy Williams has to get his $7 million salary. Mike Krzyzewski has to get his $9 million salary.
Although fans not being in the games is going to be weird for us, the executives, they really don't mind.
No, they don't care. I mean, you're not going to pipe in crowd noise or anything like that. It's going to be weird watching it. But, you know, again, there's so much money that's wrapped up in television. They could, they're not going to because they don't have to, but they could make tickets free and they wouldn't necessarily take a huge hit or anything like that. But because the NCAA does what the NCAA does and they allow coaches to make whatever they want while dinging student athletes for taking an extra helping of pasta or having illegal frosting on their cupcakes, two things that the NCAA has actually been involved in, not making that up.
So did they get this right?
Yeah, I think they did. I mean, I don't think there's not really a decision to be made here. I don't want to panic because you don't want to incite what we've already been seeing with the gouging. There's price gouging with hand sanitizer, toilet paper for some reason. I'm not sure what that's all about. But the best thing that you can do is just wash your damn hands. I mean, hand sanitizer is all well and good, and wiping things down with Lysol and Clorox wipes, that's great. The best thing that you can do is wash your hands, not just before meals, not just after you go to the bathroom, but always before meals and always going to the bathroom. Wash your hands. And maybe add one. You don't have to go. I mean, I know some people have obsessive compulsive disorder with it. I'm not saying you have to go that route or anything like that. That's an actual affliction that, you know, people have to work through. But just wash your hands, like say whatever you do right now, maybe double it for a while. And I think you'll probably not only be okay, but you'll probably be more likely to not make anybody else sick as well. We just have to flatten that curve. We got to get our arms around this thing. So just some food for thought. But no, I don't think that CBS is going to be raking in any additional dollars from ad revenue because you can't go to the arenas. I don't think that's going to happen. Good question, though. All right, so what's happening in – this is a basketball story.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Okay. So in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
The Thunder and the Jazz are playing each other.
Okay.
Everyone's out for warm-ups.
Sure.
Everything going by okay.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, all the players and coaches go back into their locker rooms. People are going, well, what in the world is happening? Apparently, now, we don't know the reason why, but there's been rumors, gotta be careful about this, that Rudy Gobert, a center for the Utah Jazz, has a illness. And out of precaution, they are postponing the game before tip-off. The Thunder PA announcer made this announcement as to make it official to have everyone leave the arena orderly.
The game tonight has been postponed. You are all safe. And take your time in leaving the arena tonight and do so in an orderly fashion. Thank you for coming out tonight. We are all safe. And you can visit OKCThunder.com for updates on upcoming games.
Wow. So, yeah. You know, release the hounds. Get out. But, you know, do so in an orderly fashion. You know, you can take your time, but no, leave, seriously. Wow. And it's potentially because of Rudy Gobert. This is the same Jamoke, and I like Rudy Gobert, but he did something really stupid the other day. As part of the Jazz's response to coronavirus, the shoot-around availability was done in the media room rather than on the court. And then as Rudy Gobert got finished discussing the coronavirus situation, he stood up, leaned over, and made it a point to touch every microphone and every recorder in front of him, as if to say, you're all overreacting. Maybe not. So this is a continuing fluid situation that has obviously impacted one basketball game right now. Over my shoulder, I've got the Mavericks hosting the Nuggets, and that game is being played in front of a full crowd at American Airlines Center in Dallas. That may be the last basketball game that we see in front of people in a while, because hashtag cancel everything is a thing. Because we got to wrap our arms around this thing before it gets out of control. It has been labeled a pandemic. So how this is going to affect us, we may know more in 24 hours. I think we're going to know something from the NBA, certainly, by tomorrow morning as well. So we'll keep our eyes and ears on it, and we'll let you know as these stories and leagues begin to cancel, if not games, at least fans coming to games. Unprecedented times, man. Strange times we're living in. What do they say? May we live in interesting times?
Indeed.
That's where we're at. One way or another, we'll do a show tomorrow in 22 hours. Have a great night. Kind of an unwitting hero Rudy Gobert was at the time. It didn't seem like it because it was just a stupid thing to do. He was someone who thought that he knew better. And that's what we've seen a lot of in the last year, and we still continue to see it to this day. We see people who think they know better because they read some jamoke on the internet. We have people who think they know better than people like Dr. Fauci, for example, someone who has studied infectious diseases for his entire life. And Rudy Gobert was one of those jamokes, one of those guys who, well, you know what, this is stupid. This is nothing more than the flu. Well, that was a dumb thing to say then. And, you know, you look back on it, and those statements did not age well. But Rudy Gobert, just touching every microphone on the way out of that news conference. 2 days later, he comes down with coronavirus himself. I don't know how many other people that he possibly infected with that, but that was the impetus to getting everything shut down in the world of sports. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. Hope everyone is having a great week. We'll talk some Brewers baseball, maybe some Marquette basketball after they got slaughtered by Georgetown in the first round of the Big East tournament, coming up for the weekend show as well. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody's staying healthy, and we'll talk to you soon right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.